This is my normal voice.
This is my normal voice. Hey, yo. Damn it, the echo.
There we go. Benicio del Toro.
Yes. Yes.
Benicio del Toro.
They all look the same to me.
Oh, Jesus, dude.
Is that completely inappropriate of me to say?
Yeah, I think so. But that's okay, because, you know, nobody listens to this anyway, so whatever.
Episode 30.
Episode 30.
Yes. And we just lost the remainder of our audience.
That's right.
Because,
yeah. At least all the Spanish or...
do we have
what
any
those
Spanish
call themselves?
Speaking folk?
The Latin American folk. Yes.
Yep. I think we should just bunch everybody together and call them folk.
Okay.
In general, regardless.
And then we can folk them.
We can folk the folk.
There you go. So episode 30. I didn't really think we'd do this many, dude.
No, I thought
when
we would.
When I first started this, I was like, we'll do a couple. It might be fun. We'll get into it.
I thought we would have punked out by now.
Oh, crap, dude. We need to take a look at our list.
Do we want to pause while we bring that up?
Yeah.
All
Hang
right.
on, folks. And we're back.
All right. Man, that was fast.
Whoa. Man, that was fast.
Okay.
It's like it didn't take any time at all.
Weird.
Weird.
We're going to have to make this somewhat shortish.
Yeah, we're on to lunch hours today.
Yeah, because I don't have time to do it any other day.
Well, let's hustle then.
All right.
So how's your week been?
Busy.
You had a birthday this
Busy.
Week?
Yesterday I turned 33.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. I don't really feel older.
No?
No.
You look
I'm younger.
Older.
I'm young at heart. Fuck you. I'm young at heart.
Yeah, whatever.
Something like
that's
that.
That's what they all say.
Yeah. I'm younger than you, that's all I know.
That's true. That's true. Although the percentage is dwindling as we get older.
Yes. So. Right. Okay.
Okay, so on to the show here. The only comment I have is we're getting some good traffic on the forums.
Yes, I totally agree.
Each of our episodes, we've got some good input from everybody, and I appreciate all the traffic and try to respond to what I can, but
me as well.
Don't
yeah.
always get there.
And keep it coming.
And keep it coming. There you go. See, told you we're gonna make this fast. Okay, so let's move on to martial arts stuff. The one martial arts thing I have, I actually have a couple, and maybe we'll talk about both. Maybe we'll talk about neither. I don't know.
Neither.
I don't care. Neither. Neither. Either.
Let's just call the whole thing off.
Is there too much reality, quote unquote, in modern martial arts? I've been thinking about this lately, and I think that with the conception of the UFC specifically, it seems that there's a lot of focus on reality combat fighting in the martial arts.
Yes.
And in to some degree, I believe that it's reduced the validity, or at least people's perceived validity, of martial arts like Aikido and Tai Chi and things like that.
Well, I mean, I think that it's a good thing to question the validity of those things.
I think so too, but I think that what has a tendency to happen is that those arts provide they have a more long-term perspective.
Yes, they definitely do.
And so
they're a lifestyle
right.
versus a, I don't even know, a hobby, I guess.
Or how to defend yourself.
Right.
And I think that you can be a Aikido stylist as a hobbyist. I guess the point is, and I think the important part is, your cat is freaking out, dude.
That is a pretty important point, Dan.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing
Sorry.
That up.
Sorry. No. what I think the important part is that, you know, you study Aikido for a year, and a guy that studies kickboxing for 2 months can kick your ass.
Probably.
Does that make the Aikido stylist less of a martial artist?
No, not less of a martial artist.
Right. And so I think that people lose sight of what a martial art
right.
truly
yeah,
is.
Yeah, don't be confused between a martial artist and someone who knows how to fight.
Right.
They are two
vastly different
people.
Things. Yep.
You know, that the focus on a martial artist is so much more than just knowing how to
right.
fight.
So I think that a lot of the, you know, a lot of the mistakes that people make is you base your judgment on whether or not you want to take an art by how much ass you can kick.
Right.
From taking that art.
Which is so not the point.
Which is so
if you're
going to
do
point.
That, you might as well take up boxing.
Right. Or kickboxing.
Those guys
or
kick
Thai
ass.
Boxing or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something
you know?
Where you're getting in the ring. You yep. might as well just do that. Don't waste your time looking for a martial arts school where you can learn how to
right.
kick ass. Go somewhere where you know they teach you how to kick ass.
Right.
Boxing, kickboxing. I mean,
yep.
that's it. You know it right from the get-go. That's
yep.
what you do.
Yep. And I think, too, that in all honesty, if you're talking about reality fighting, as far as striking is concerned, there's like 5 or 6 strikes that you really need to know.
Yeah.
You know, a punch, a front kick, maybe a roundhouse, the straight punch, the jab, the hook, and...
The uppercut.
And probably not even the uppercut.
Right.
You know?
And what are those? I mean, those are the basis for Western boxing right,
right.
now. I mean, you don't do a lot more than that.
And
other
I'll tell
that,
you what.
You know, footwork and how to use your head.
Right. You spend 6 months on a jab and a cross only. You're probably going to be able to beat any other... stylist as far as fighting is concerned in martial arts. Well,
if they haven't done the same thing.
Well, and not only that, but there's the whole grappling issue, but that's sort
right,
of separate.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, I think that recently there's a lot of focus on, you know, the validity of martial arts being based on their ass kickassitude.
Nice word.
Thank you.
Nice word.
Thank
Five
you.
Points.
5 points, good.
Yes, the ass kickassitude of a martial art isn't a good measure. It shouldn't be the sole measure, for a martial art.
That's right. Now,
if
it's your personal goal,
right,
that's totally
then by
different.
All means,
right,
use that as your sole measuring.
Right. But
stick.
How tough the students are in a particular school is not a good measure of that school necessarily.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right. You know, and I know especially like in our school and stuff, I mean, we have a lot of focus just on community. It's the fact that we all know each other
right.
and we have right. a good time getting together and working out.
Yes.
You know, and
yep.
you get rid of the stress in your life, you know, and you move around a little bit because I know I sit on my butt.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Just about 24 hours a day.
I will admit.
I make a living sitting on my ass.
I will admit that I'm having a hard time spooling back up after my test.
Yeah.
I'm having a really difficult time going to class knowing that there's going to be physical exertion involved. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's just sort of a...
I think that everyone goes through phases. Just the nature
right.
of... Right? I mean,
right.
we've just got done through the winter where all you could do to get out was to go to class. I mean, what else
right.
is there to do? It's
That's
snowy.
True.
It's hard to go anywhere.
Right.
And now the sun's out, and
yeah.
you want to go some. You want to be outdoors.
Right.
You want to go someplace
true.
Where you haven't gotten. You know, everybody's coming out of their winter slumber.
Yeah.
And so you go through these kind of cycles across the seasons where
yeah.
you're going to be more inclined and less inclined to work out.
Well, and you and I have talked about that as well, is that, you know, we have made the distinction and the realization that we are hobbyists.
Right.
We are not professional martial artists.
Right.
And so with that comes the fact that we should not feel guilty about not going to class and doing other things because we have other interests, we have other pursuits in our lives.
Right.
And the martial arts, while we enjoy it a lot, it is a hobby.
Right.
And you know, you need to treat it as such when it is a hobby.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's for me, and it is a perfect example. I've been doing this theater work now. It's been
right.
2 weeks.
That's right.
I can't go to class. I
That's
have
right.
practice every night from 6:30 to 9:30.
Yeah.
There's no time for class. I have nothing.
And you know what? Class will be there when you're done.
Right. You know.
So,
and I guess I could probably go on the weekends, but
yeah.
I've been gone all week from 7 in the morning
right.
to 9:30 at night.
Right.
I've got 2 days to relax. Actually, 1 day. Saturday is my only day off to relax. You know, I'm
yeah.
back to practice again. So... But the other day I was jonesing for a workout. In fact, I worked out for 20 minutes in my backyard because I just couldn't stand it anymore. I needed to do so. I went through all of our forms. I didn't know anything else to do. I mean, yeah, right. I could do push-ups and that, but that's boring. I don't want to do push-ups, so I ran through the forms.
Which brings me to something else. One of the things that I approached our instructor with is a lot of styles have what's called one steps, which are essentially muscle memory training scenarios. And
see, it sounds so much better when you say it that way.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Than one step. Because one step, immediately you have these, this kind of, in my mind, I get the one steps. They're like a one-step solution to fixing your problem.
Right, no. Yeah, it's a muscle memory training drill. And we currently don't have anything like that in our art. And Sterling and I are going to sort of collaborate and develop something like that. Which, one of the things I like so much about Sanyan Do is that our instructor is very open and he actually likes it. One of the things he told me when I approached him with this idea was he said he's not quite sure about the idea, but he'd like to see an example of it in practice.
Right.
But he also said that this is the kind of thing that he sort of looks for in his black belts and his instructors of how can I improve on the art? How can I add to what's already there or tweak it or whatever, you know? It's a constantly evolving thing.
Well, and that's, you know, and that's one of the things that I love and will probably be hard-pressed to ever find in any other school.
It'd be,
find any other school where you can go in, earn your black belt, or even not when you're a black belt.
Right,
and talk to the instructor and have him seriously consider making changes to how he teaches people his martial art.
Well, and that's the thing is that we're not talking about just changing specific techniques.
Right. We're talking about changing the teaching
concept.
If
we do this and we develop it, to me, it would become an integral part of the training program.
Right.
You know, it's part of the drills that you do on a daily or weekly basis, you know? And it would be great, in my opinion, for people to be able to team up at home, daughters and mothers, you know, family or friends, you and I in the backyard kind of thing that you can work with a partner.
Right.
You know, you don't have to go, because the one thing you're not going to do is kicking line drills.
Right.
Just because it feels silly just to stand there and kick and kick and kick.
Although that's the way I learned.
Right.
Yeah,
although
I mean,
I prefer to do that on a heavy bag.
There's a validity to it.
Yeah,
but again, you have to balance that with things like people get bored doing that.
Right,
it's boring.
So yeah, my concept is to come up with 100-150 of these small drills.
Oof, 100 or 150? Huh?
Well, you think about it. If we do, part of our theory of behind a martial arts is that you've got five zones in which an attack can come from, which is right, left, top, bottom, or center.
Yes.
And my thought is that if we do, say, 10 to 15 a piece for those,
right,
you know, you're already you're pretty high up there already. And, you know, maybe that's a more realistic range, but 10 is probably not going to be enough because we have...
Right,
like,
it'll be a good
fighter,
jumping
We
platform,
have a diminished
though.
Fighter theory. We have... what do you call it?
Well, right. If you apply all the theories
to three or
four of the movements, then you
all
start
of a sudden,
to add up.
Yeah, it starts to add up real fast. So, but maybe we want to start with just something real minimal to show Chuck and see how it goes from there.
Right. Right.
The difficulty is going to be recording them so that we fucking don't forget them all by the time we get to the last one, we'll have to remember the first
we'll
one.
We'll use your new tool that you've developed and we'll put them in there.
So, other martial art news is I submitted my article to Black Belt Magazine and Kung Fu Magazine.
You did? Yep. I didn't even get a chance to read it yet.
I didn't. I submitted the abstract for it.
Ah.
Generally what you do when
like
you...
Like a treatment.
Yeah. When you submit an article to a magazine, you submit an abstract first, which is, hey, this is my idea, what do you think kind of thing. And got rejected by Kung Fu Magazine. Because they said we focus on Kung Fu and Tai Chi. A lot of the styles that we focus on don't have a belt system, so it's not really going to be relevant.
Oh. Well,
which could have been a nice way of saying it sucked. it's a dumb idea. Well, yeah, but either way, still, it was a nice response.
Sounds like a fine point.
I have not gotten back. I have not received a response from Black Belt Magazine yet. Yeah. So. But when I get the article done, I mean, regardless of whether I accept it or not, I'll probably finish the article. I'll post it for everybody to read and
sweet.
They can get in their comments and whatnot.
All right, cool.
So, shall we move on from martial arts
yes,
stuff?
Yes, we shall.
All right, tech tips.
Search plugin hack for removing Firefox search engines. Last week, we
yes.
talked about how to add them, and as I was
there's
doing,
no easy removal tool,
there
is
isn't.
There?
I looked, and yeah. I'm like, how do I get rid of one? And I saw
right.
a bunch of them I don't use, like Yahoo. Why would I use the Yahoo search engine? I
right.
hate those guys. They're a bunch of communist-supporting bastards.
All right.
So how do I get rid of it?
Tell me how you really feel.
Search plugin hack for removing the Firefox search engines.
It's amazing that you have to get a plugin to remove those engines.
Right.
That's weird.
So,
I am currently moving. I got a new laptop at work.
You did?
Yes. And I'm moving all my shit from one laptop to the other. What a huge pain in the ass. I'm actually having to write a script to do the file copying.
How can you have that much important stuff?
Well, I've got 20 gigs of MP3s.
Oh.
But it's all the stuff that I always forget, like my bookmarks, and I've got all these plugins for Firefox, and
right.
I've got, you know, it's just
but
all
if
that
you
shit
start
I got
storing
all
your
again.
Bookmarks on
Google Bookmarks.
Google Bookmarks or
Delicious.
Delicious. Then
it
you wouldn't have to
problem.
Worry about it.
I know. And believe me, I was thinking about that.
Yeah. All right.
Fix the Firefox memory problem.
Yeah, what's up with this?
Well, I don't know if you've ever noticed it or not, but if you bring up the Task Manager, Firefox consumes a tremendous amount of memory. And I'm not
Is that
really...
Leak? Is that a memory leak?
That's what they say on this site. I'm not sure it's a memory leak because it's been there a while. It seems like they had fixed it in one of the versions.
Okay.
But what this does is it's actually a setting in the About config. And it's just a single setting that you add, and it still does it when the window is being shown, but as soon as you minimize your window, the memory usage for Firefox drops down to about 5 megs as opposed to 50.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
I like
it's
it.
It's a really nice, and you know, if you're a little bit low on memory and whatnot on your computer, it's a... I've got one of those old laptops, those 266 laptops,
right.
and this hack has worked really well for that, especially if I'm flip-flopping back and forth between
That's the problem I have, too,
yeah.
is jumping back and forth. It's got to page everything out and then page it back in. And
yeah.
that's
and like, I think that's why we have a glitch while recording our podcast.
You're probably correct.
Yeah.
You're absolutely
it
correct,
sucks up
I'm
a
sure.
ton of memory.
Okay.
So, there we go.
Tech and science stuff.
Xena is shiny.
Xena, the new planet.
The new
right?
planet. I guess it's just a giant ball of ice.
Awesome.
And supposedly it has a very shiny surface, which means it has frozen tectonic plates.
Oh, okay.
And they crack open, and stuff liquid comes from underneath the tectonic plates, resurfaces the whole thing. So that's why
crazy.
It's
so
shiny.
Sort of like a water volcano.
It's sort of like a giant planetary water volcano. Yes.
Wow.
And one of the things from reading this article that I didn't realize is that this planet is like 4 or 5 times further from the sun than Jupiter is.
I read that.
Or than Pluto is.
Pluto, right?
And that must be way the fuck.
So
out
why
there.
Did they pick Xena?
I don't know. Actually, I think it's an odd choice to tell you the truth.
I do too.
I mean, obviously, Xena is one of the gods, and that goes along with the god theme, but I don't know what Xena is the god of.
I don't know.
Number
Maybe,
three?
I think she's the goddess of... Ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay!
She could be. I can get into that,
yeah.
to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
There's nothing like a woman that goes...
and other terrestrial, extraterrestrial news.
It is extraterrestrial.
Yes,
isn't it?
Spirit makes it.
Yes, I had that.
It made it up
article.
Over the hill.
It made it up over the hill. It's now on the sunny side of the hill, so it looks like it's going to be good for the Martian winter.
Wow!
And it's going to make it through the Martian winter with its power supplies able to recharge
until those Martian Yetis. Find
well,
it and
see, the Martian
it.
Yetis are a problem, and I think that we're going to nuke them.
You think so?
I think so.
I think it's pretty safe to say we could probably send some nukes to Mars, and we don't have to worry about really hurting anybody other than some
Martian
Yetis.
Yeah. The Martian chupacabras are also a problem, so if we can clear all those fellas out in one fail swoop, we'll be good to go.
Nice. Yeah. I forgot about the El Chupacabras.
The chupacabras.
Whatever.
Are a real problem in on Mars.
I believe it's their El Chupacabras.
El Chupacabras? The Chupacabra, I believe.
Oh, so there's just one then? Because I always heard it referred to as El Chupacabra.
Oh, no. El Chupacabra.
Right. So maybe there's only one.
Maybe there is only one. I don't know.
Okay.
You know, there's lots of vampires, but there's just only one Dracula.
Gotcha.
You never know. Maybe it's that kind of thing.
I think that's a fine point.
All right.
Mac.
I actually don't.
No, me either. Yeah. I'm just trying to move on.
Okay.
Mac Boot Camp. I love this.
This is where you go to get boots made from Macintosh computers.
Yes.
Excellent.
Can you believe that?
No.
The Mac Boot Camp is actually going to ship with the next version of the Mac OS, and what it does is actually it will go out and compile all the DLLs, all the files required to run a native version of Windows XP on your Macintosh.
Now, you have to buy a copy of Windows XP to do this, though.
Correct.
Yes.
You know, of course. I mean, technically, you buy a copy of Windows XP every time you buy a computer that comes with Windows XP.
This is my thing, in all honesty. Is that I have an old Mac at home.
Yes.
I've booted it up twice.
Right.
I have yet to find a good reason to use a Macintosh.
I was going to talk about that exact same point today. I started looking around because I'm pricing out Macs, right?
Okay.
First of all, you're talking probably an extra $500 for the same type of
machine. Which it used to be an extra 1,000.
Right. So they're coming down a little bit. The iMacs look nice. I mean,
They do make it a nice home appliance.
Right.
Yes.
It look good. It's a widescreen 20-inch monitor all in one. It's compact. It looks really good.
Now you can jam one of those monitors on a PC, though, too.
Well, right, but it's all in one unit.
Okay, yeah.
I like the way Macs look, no doubt about it. Okay. So I was like, okay, so let me think about this. If I was going to get my next computer, pay a couple extra $100 for a nice flat-screen monitor. It's widescreen, 20-inch. I don't have one right now.
Right.
Plus, it comes with a computer, yada, 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 yada. Price it all out. The video card looks pretty decent. You can get an upgrade for that. So all around, we're talking a little under $2,000.
Okay.
Right? Okay, comes with a 250-gig hard drive, all the fun stuff. Mm-hmm. Looks good. And I thought, and I can run Windows on it, and I can run the Mac operating system.
Right.
So I'm like, cool, so I can play my games, and then I can do my video editing on the Mac stuff, which is pretty much all I'd ever use it for.
Right.
So then I start looking around, and I start thinking, well, man, I'm going to have to buy all new software to run on the Mac side.
Yep.
So I think, okay, so what can I buy for the Mac side? Not much.
Right.
Not much. You pretty much, I'm going to be relegated to using iMovie. Because $1,600 to buy Final Cut Pro
is not an option.
I just don't have an... I mean, I just spent my $1,600 buying a fucking Mac.
Right.
You know? Right. So, although iMovie does look pretty nice, and I like the idea of being able to use GarageBand.
Yes.
But I would only use the Mac for video editing.
Right.
That's it.
And to tell you the truth, with options like Premiere Elements at $100... Pinnacle Studio at $100.
Yeah, but all in all, though, I mean, we think about it, those are going to be comparable to iMovie, and they're making a lot of improvements to iMovie. But
No, they will, but essentially what you're doing is, in my opinion, is you're spending an extra $500.
When you could pay $100 just to do what you want to do.
Plus, you have to pay $300 for a copy of XP.
Right.
Because off-the-shelf XP is 300 bones.
Right.
So,
you know,
unless you have an overwhelming reason, I think one of the great things about this, in my opinion, is you will have a lot of Mac users that have been dying to use specific Windows applications,
games specifically,
that they have been unable to play or unable to use previously.
Right.
So I don't necessarily see this as a huge advantage for PC users.
No, because they're already using all
this stuff. I do see that I would understand. Well, to me, it seems like you'd have a lot less Mac people migrating to PC.
Yes.
Because now I'm sure there's...
You're not going to see
there's
huge...
a certain amount of attrition that happens throughout the years of people saying, fuck, I still can't play World of Warcraft on my Mac.
Well, actually, that's the one they can play.
Okay. Well, I can't play DDO on my Mac.
Right.
Fuck it. You know what? It's time to upgrade my machine. I'm just going to fucking get a PC.
Yeah.
Now they can say it's time to upgrade my machine. Boy, I don't really want to have to spend the $300 on XP, I can still keep my Mac, so it's worth it.
I'll just
get boot camp.
I don't know. For me, I think the next computer I get is going to be a Mac, because I really want one. And the only reason I have never bought one is because there's no way, I mean, for me to put that much money into it and not be able to do the Windows stuff when I need it. Because when I come home here, what do? I do two things. I'm either surfing the web.
Video editing.
Actually, three things.
Or DDO.
Surfing the web, video editing, or DDO.
Yep.
Two of those three things I can do on the Mac, and I'll be happy with it.
Right.
Right.
Well, but you can do all of them on a Windows machine.
I can, I know, but I really want to get used to, I really would like to eventually score a copy of Final Cut Pro and learn some of that stuff. And,
oh, yeah.
And I think there's a lot of tools specific to doing audiovisual work on a Mac that are probably going to be a little bit smoother.
Well, I have a theory about this whole thing. I believe that Steve Jobs has the power of the Hypnotoad.
The Hypnotoad?
The Hypnotoad. And every time he does a press release, he hypnotizes in mass the entire audience and forces us to buy whatever product it is that he's talking about.
I agree with that.
I am compelled to buy iPods.
Right.
I can't not buy whatever fucking iPod comes out next.
Yeah, well, you're a techno whore.
And it's all...
You buy everything that comes
fucking
out.
Fucking Steve Jobs' fault. Yeah, but dude...
You buy all the Nintendo stuff, too.
No, yeah. I didn't buy an SP.
What?
I didn't buy an SP.
Well, right, but you've got every other model.
Well, I had a GBA. I had a regular Game Boy. I never got a Game Boy Color. I had a GBA. And now I have my DS. And I really want one of those personal DSs.
Yeah. And now you have a PSP.
I have a PSP.
Three iPods.
I've got... Well, I sold one on eBay.
Two turtle doves, a partridge, and a pear tree.
That's right.
I'm going to end up probably getting a Mac because I used to have one. I loved the hell out of it. The only reason I don't have a Mac now is because all the work that I do has to be on a Windows machine. But if I'm doing stuff for myself, I do it on a Mac.
Yep. Interesting.
Sterling does it on a Mac. You should get a T-shirt.
So, Mac Boot Camp for all the Mac lovers
out
there.
Wow, that spurred way more conversation than I thought it would. Okay.
Oh,
this
is really
I'm
cool.
very interested
this
in
is
now because
really
I didn't
cool.
read this yet, so now I'm jonesing.
Stream iTunes library to PSP. There's a little application that what it allows you to do, and there have been applications out there for a long time that do this sort of thing.
Okay.
I don't know if any of them were explicitly for iTunes. The PSP portion of it is simply it's simply using the existing software on the PSP.
Okay.
And what you do is, it's a little tiny bit of software that plays a playlist through port 8080 on your machine.
All right.
So essentially you set up a kind of web server that streams MP3s. Then you point your PSP RSS reader, right?
Hell yeah.
Because the RSS reader on your PSP is just... It just gets the RSS feed, right? Gets the MP3 file and streams it to your PSP. So you fake out the PSP to think the stream is actually an MP3 file.
So I can plug my headphones into my PSP and listen to my music through my PSP that's being streamed from
wirelessly. That's being streamed from your machine. And if you port forward through your router, you could do that anywhere on the internet.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Now I need a booster, though, so I can mow my lawn while I listen through my PSP.
Yes. Yes, you do. Because one of the big downsides of the PSP is its lack of memory.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the 4-gig cards are out now, but they're as expensive as the fucking unit is.
Right.
So what's the point? But I don't know. I think that's a really that means anything.
I'm going to give this a try here. In fact,
anything
I'm
within the
my
range
PSP
of...
to work with me when I go back, and I'm going to load this
sweet.
Up.
Do you have a wireless
at work?
Network at work?
Yes, we do.
So there you go.
But the other thing is, I'm gonna have to get those things though. Yeah, I'm gonna have to get they put some security and stuff on there now. It used to be you could just bam and log on there.
It was all open.
So I'm gonna have to see if I can get a password to get myself set up on there, and I'm gonna give it a shot.
Yeah.
Because I don't like having to reboot my machine and all that kind of crap.
Yeah.
It's a real pain in the ass.
And the only other downside is that it's a stream.
Yeah.
So you can't, like, move to the skip to the next song or anything like that. You get what you get.
That's fine.
But if you set up the playlist, then it's not like you're going to have a song that you don't like on there.
Right.
So
exactly. That's
so I thought sweet. That was really cool. And I'm glad you're going to investigate it, because then we can sort of talk about it next time.
Well, that'll be cool. I can set something up for my wife, so when she's in the kitchen, I'll just put my PSP in there, and she can listen to that while she's cooking or something like that.
Well, and one of the things that I like to do is I've got the FM transmitter for my iPod. And so I can put a radio outside and just tune it to the iPod station.
Right.
You know?
Nice.
So, anyway.
Okay.
So, movie stuff.
Memoirs of a
Geisha. I saw a couple of movies this last week. I think it's been a couple of weeks since we did our last iPod. Oh, speaking of which, we hit 200 downloads for our last
210.
Episode. 210 is it now?
Yeah.
Nice, dude.
Yeah, very
nice.
We
are, like, famous and shit.
Or something.
We have... Well, and yeah, 200 people listen to it. And a bunch of those are repeats, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, movie stuff. My wife and I saw Memoirs of a Geisha.
And?
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's actually a very good movie.
I'm sure it was probably artistically very, very
it
appealing
is the,
to look at.
Yes. The art direction was really, really good. A lot of historical stuff. I think it's a lot of, you know, World War II, and sort of we sweep into Japan and after
blow
Hiroshima
shit up.
And blow shit up and whatnot. It's just, it's a very interesting movie. It's kind of a chick flick, but the visual quality is, I mean, it's a stunning movie, you know.
How was the story?
The story was great.
Really?
It's a story essentially about, this woman who she becomes a geisha, obviously.
Right.
But it's kind of her trials and tribulation through the whole process. If you have any interest in history of that area and that era, like if you like Shogun and you like samurai movies and shit like that, it's an interesting perspective in that. I think if you plopped this story into, you know, life in the Midwest, it probably wouldn't be terribly compelling. I mean, part of what makes the movie so good is the setting.
Right.
It was interesting enough to pull me along anyway.
Oh, well, good.
And it went
by
pretty quick, and my wife enjoyed it. So,
on the D20 scale?
We'll roll the dice, and we will give it a 16.
A 16.
We'll give it a 16.
Okay. So slightly above average.
Slightly above average, yep. And I think that if you're looking for a movie to watch with the wife or girlfriend, I'd say it's a 17.
Okay, because
they'll
then.
Probably enjoy
good.
It. And I saw Sideways.
I saw this movie as well.
Oh, did you really?
I love this movie.
I was kind of middle of the road on this movie.
Yeah?
I wasn't really sure. The weird thing about this movie, this is one of those movies where you're compelled to watch it, and the movie goes by fairly quickly.
Yep.
And after the movie ends, you sort of think to yourself, was that actually interesting? yet you were into it while you were watching it.
Yes.
You know, because, I mean, it's, you know, you take a look at just the raw storyline, and It's pretty much about a guy who can't let go of a previous relationship and is trying to get into a new one with someone new.
Well, meanwhile, right, but it's about this guy facing his fears.
Meanwhile, his friend is kind of a whore, a male whore, and sleeping with all these chicks and doing exactly what he is unable to do.
Right.
And, you know, if that's the pitch, you kind of go, well, does it have Ashton Kutcher in it? Because, you know, you're expecting sort of a Dude,
well,
Where's My Car
it,
comedy
kind of But you think
thing.
About that plot is very... The reason it drew you in is because everyone has those bits of fear in their life where they would love to just let loose and be that guy.
Right.
But you have a hard time doing it because you have these fears.
Yeah.
You know, and
but
that's
instead you've crawled in a hole.
Right, and that's what's so compelling about it. And you're right, you pull it out and say, well, it's about a guy who's afraid to do what he really wants to do, and you're like, well, that's kind of boring.
Right.
But you watch it, and you tend
you're
to,
compelled
I think,
by it.
You draw your own parallels in your own life to like, man, there's lots of things that I've been afraid to do, and I wish I could have been that guy then.
Right.
That's what's so compelling about
it. Right. So yeah, it's an interesting movie. I enjoyed watching it. It's the kind of movie though that I'm not sure if I were sitting around on a Saturday thinking about rewatching some movie if I'd throw that one in.
No, and I wouldn't either.
But I'm glad I saw it.
Right.
So, I don't know, what would you give it?
It scores a 17 for me.
I would agree. 17.
Yep. I think it was good as entertaining, and Sandra Monkey.
Which one was that?
Who
was
she
that?
Was the Oriental woman who was having the relationship with
Beat the fuck out of that
dude. That was awesome.
That was awesome.
She's got the attitude.
Yes.
The attitude.
Yes.
All right. So yeah, I like that.
Then
I watched a movie this weekend.
Thank You for Not Smoking.
We watched the movie Thank You for Smoking.
Thank You for Smoking.
Have you seen the previews for this?
I went on IMDb and I took a look at it.
The movie is about this guy who's the spokesperson for Big Tobacco prior to all the lawsuits they settled for smoking being addictive and stuff.
Okay.
And it was very funny.
Cool.
Very funny movie. I'm going to give this a 17 as well, so above average.
Okay.
I recommend anyone to go see it.
Is it like a documentary?
It's not a documentary at all.
Okay.
It's completely kind of a satirical type take on Hollywood and all these things, and the fact that the cigarette companies are, you know, have these ridiculously, you know, they defend themselves with ridiculous claims.
Right.
There's this guy and his argument, you know, he basically talks to his son at one point in the movie, talking to him about argument, and their one argument they have is, or they talk about this, well, you know, say I'm the proponent for vanilla ice cream and you're the chocolate, you know, and you say to me, chocolate's the best ice cream, and I say to you, well, you know, what makes you say that? How can you prove it? And the kid's like, well, because I like it, and da 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 da. And the guy's like, well, look, I like vanilla ice cream, therefore, what you're saying cannot be right, so I must be right. You know, he talks about how you argue with people, right? Because if I don't like chocolate ice cream as much as vanilla, then obviously chocolate's not the best, so you must be wrong. And if you're wrong, that means I'm right.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And the kid's like, but wait a minute. And he wanted to talk about something else. And the kid's like, but that's not even part of the argument.
You know, it's funny.
So it was how you basically mislead people.
I took a logic class a long time ago. And in that class, one of the things that my teacher did was, I think it was like, during the fall of an election or something like that, and he took snippets from debates, and he essentially pointed out that sort of this is what a lot of politicians do, actually. They base arguments on unproven assumptions.
Exactly.
And that's one of the biggest ways that you can manipulate people. Is that, well, you know, you can say, see, now I can't think of one, of course, but if you base your argument on an unproven assumption, and within your argument you just say it like it's a fact,
right?
Then people go, oh, well, shit, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and that's exactly what was so funny, and that's what this kind of was about.
Right.
Sort of. They used Big Tobacco as the basis of it because there was all these things, right?
Right.
You know, and the perfect example is this guy goes to talk at a school about what he does. And the guy, you know, gives some examples of what other people do. And he says, well, I talk. He says, that's what I do for a living. He says, I talk about Big Tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
And this little girl up front is like, you see this in the preview. My mom, he says, that cigarettes kill. And the guy looks at her and he's got this big, you know, shitty grin on his face. Well, is your mommy a doctor? And she's like, no. And he's like, is she a scientific lab researcher? No. Well, then she's not a very credible witness now, is she?
Right.
You know, and that's
a
perfect example.
Right.
He didn't say that they didn't kill you.
Right.
He said she's not qualified to
say
whether they actually do or not.
That's right.
Totally avoiding the real argument.
That's right.
So little things like that all across the way.
Yep.
And the best guy, the best character in the whole movie is this guy's boss. You know, he's just the biggest ass you've ever seen.
I'll have to Netflix that or something.
So,
that sounds pretty good.
I'm going to give that one an 18.
All right.
Very, very humorous. And the best part, the irony of the whole movie was not a single cigarette smoking scene in the entire movie.
Really?
Yes.
That's great. That's awesome.
So, anyway.
So,
very interesting. And if you're a smoker, you'll probably get a really good kick out of everything the guy has to say, too.
It's excellent. Grand Rapids Festival of the Arts.
Yeah, I threw this in there real quick. I saw actually an advertisement on our local cable access channel.
Use your big boy words.
Yeah. Local cable access channel.
Excellent.
The Grand Rapids Festival of the Arts 2006 is June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And anybody who's from the general vicinity can actually, they actually do video, a video festival as well.
Oh, cool.
So you can submit your video stuff. It can't have been submitted for like the last 2 years. It must be new within the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Can't have been submitted before. Yada, 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 yada.
Yep.
Another festival for doing video type stuff, as well as other, the Grand Rapids Festival of the Arts is music. In fact, the martial arts classes sometimes go down there and do
Oh, that's right. Chance
shows.
Went down there.
Yeah, so Chance has been down
there.
And all sorts of craziness goes on down there. It's a really big festival in Grand Rapids. Kind of fun.
Yeah, it's a huge festival. It's like they close down the streets downtown.
Yeah, they close down all of downtown and just walking only. Yeah. And
so anybody listening in Europe or anywhere else in the world, fly in, crash with us.
Yes.
Go to the festival.
Right.
It'll be
good. It's a good time.
Yeah.
They have elephant ears.
Yeah. And I think, you know, airfare is, what, only a couple thousand dollars?
Yeah, that's enough.
No big deal.
Okay, that's enough. That's movie stuff. That's and again, no movie making tips.
No movie making.
Just don't have a whole lot in the movie making tip thing.
We haven't really focused on it lately. It's the movie making stuff is a little bit more difficult to get something really like a really solid piece.
That's really worth talking
about. It's really worth talking about. And we started early on about the difference between two shots and three shots and how you set up two shots and all that jazz. And once you get past the basics, it's like, well, it's either like a 3-hour podcast of how to do video compositing with a blue screen, or
and that's too technical for what we want to cover.
Exactly. All right, RPG stuff.
I do have two interesting links about the board game Talisman.
Talisman Island.
Talisman Island is a website that is
Island.
Right. Is filled with links that you can go download custom-made expansions for Talisman.
Really?
Yes. In fact, when we play in June, the weekend of
are we playing in June?
We're going to be playing Talisman.
We will.
And Mike Miles actually printed off the new board for us, which I downloaded and composited together.
Now, Talisman's a board game, then?
It's a board game.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's very, very, very fun. We'll do some, maybe we'll have to grab
play
some audio clips and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
During the play, and then we'll report back.
We'll get some video or something.
And then there's also another one that I really liked, Christopher Hammack's Talisman page.
Oh, okay.
And what he did is he has a list of home rules that he's put together for distributing the adventure cards, because you get, when you add all the adventure cards together, there's a huge stack of them, and they're disproportionate to the, there's different zones on the board. There's basically what we call regions, right?
Well, this sounds crazy, dude.
Yeah, so there's, right now, with the new board we have, there's 5 regions. A traditional Talisman board only has 3 regions.
Okay.
So we've added 2 new rings around the outside of the board. The problem is there's so many adventure cards that you draw. So basically you move spaces, right? When you land on a space that says draw a card, you draw a card, and that could be a creature, could be an item.
Okay.
So you may have to fight, you make it an item, you make it a follower, yada, 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 yada.
Cool.
Well, the problem is the adventure cards, you know, they're not really... You could fight this huge, nasty demon on the very first card you draw when your character is...
Oh, and you're fucked.
And you're screwed, so you immediately lose a life.
Right.
So this guy had some nice house rules for taking the cards and dividing them up specifying that when you're in a certain region, you draw from this deck. So the higher up you go, you draw from a deck that's likely to give you better objects, but also harder encounters.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So
cool.
This is like a mindless role-playing. Nobody has to be the DM. The adventure is already pre-done. The objective is to get to the center and the crown of command, at which point you either get a really big item or you have to fight some creature who gives. Then if you win, you get powers to kill the other players off and you win the game.
That'll be kind of a nice... Are we going to do any D&D?
No.
Okay. That'll be kind of a...
Jeff was thinking about actually putting together a small adventure for people who wanted to.
Oh.
Just something small. We're also going to play some Nintendo, some old-school Nintendo.
Very cool.
He's hosting at his house.
Yep.
I was thinking about putting together a short Firefly adventure.
Mm.
So we could try out the new Serenity rules and that sort of stuff.
Cool. Well,
so anyhow,
we'll see how it goes. We're playing it by ear. I was just thinking it's going to be a nice break for you.
Yes.
To not have to worry
I'm just so busy, I'm not going to get a good adventure together anyway.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, let's do something fun.
Yep.
Talisman's an incredibly fun and addictive game.
Cool.
Anybody who does play right now and is looking for something to spruce up their game, I highly recommend going to the Talisman Island page and looking at some of those downloads. All new adventure cards, new characters, new rules, whatever you want.
I'm looking forward to it. That'll be cool. That'll be really cool.
All right. Let's move on to video game stuff.
I got a couple of new video games. I got Mario and Luigi Partners in Time for the DS. Ooh. I've been noticing they've been releasing a lot of games for the DS. Not much for the PSP lately.
No, that's what I've noticed too.
PSP is drying up.
Yeah, I know.
It's not good.
I know.
Maybe they'll release a bunch with the PS3 release or something like that.
Well, we can hope.
But Mario and Luigi Partners in Time, very fun game. Yeah. Very addictive game. Not so much a platformer, but a sort of a... They have platforming elements, but the platformer elements are more puzzle-solving.
Okay.
Than they are... There's no real-time combat.
Okay.
So it's a lot like a Final Fantasy game where you meet an opponent and all of a sudden it goes dun-dun-dun-dun-dun and it goes
into combat mode.
It goes into combat mode. Combat mode is sort of a nice combination of real-time and strategy-based.
Oh, nice.
Because
I like those.
You pick a particular movement or particular item to use, and then you like have to hit the button at the right time or hit the right combination of buttons kind of
okay.
thing. So you're still involved, and you do damage based on how well you do that button combination, but it's not like a frantically hitting the buttons to defeat the guy game.
Gotcha.
Which is what I have a tendency to prefer. And you never really have to worry about... Like, I've never had to restart from a saved game because it's not terribly difficult. It's more of a, what do they call those? A discovery game.
Ah, okay.
Where, you know, you're really
fun.
Yeah, so it's a great game. It's a great game. Highly addicted to it. Easily 19 out of 20. On the
Ooh, nice.
Easily.
Nice.
And I also got Metroid Prime Hunters. This game is very cool.
Is this
cool.
like a first-person shooter?
This is a first-person shooter.
Based on the Metroid Prime
yes.
world.
Yes, and you use your touchpad as the look. So the touchpad becomes a lot like the mouse then.
Okay.
Double tap is jump. Your left shoulder button is the trigger. So everything works really well.
So
well.
The interaction between the user and the game is pretty good?
The only thing is you sort of have to figure out how to hold the DS. Because
I found that a problem with my PSP as well.
Yeah.
These smaller handheld units, when you get into a game like that...
Your hands get a little bit cramped up.
Yes.
The gameplay is awesome. It's a great, great game. One of the coolest things, though, is multiplayer.
Okay.
You can play online from any wireless, right?
Ooh.
You can go in and you can play multiplayer against the world.
Awesome.
If you have a friend code of someone else... Right? You can actually do a voice chat through the DS.
Get out!
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So you can voice chat across the internet via Metroid Prime Hunters.
Damn.
And you know what? I don't see any reason to not do a firmware upgrade to the DS and make it an IP phone.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
That's really cool. So... Good game, lots of fun, especially if you have other people that you know that own DSs and are willing to buy Metroid Prime Hunters. It's definitely
worth
it.
Is this cartridge?
It's cartridge-based. So fast load times.
Good.
Super good stuff. I should post my friend code for Prime and for...
Sweet!
The kart game, Mario Kart.
That would be cool.
Yeah, so...
So your rating for Metroid Prime Hunters?
I'm going to give that a 19 as well.
Dang, two high scores.
Yep.
Nice.
And I'm reserving 20 for Zelda when it comes out.
Ah. All right, and I also got a new game for my PSP.
Frantix.
Matt bought me the game Frantix.
Yes.
Which is
it's an old game.
It's a puzzler game.
Yep.
And what you do is you have this little guy and you run through this kind of... You solve a puzzle as you run along. You have to collect these gems, right?
Yeah.
You have all sorts of obstacles. Like, you have monsters that move in a specific pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of them, whenever they hit a wall, they always turn right.
Yep.
And you have blocks you can move.
Now, you also have Lumines, right?
I sold that.
Okay.
I got
okay.
rid of that one.
Okay.
That was... I liked it, but I'm not... I mean, puzzle games for me have to be more than just placing blocks. I don't get into that.
Okay.
So I played Frantix, really good game, was lots of fun.
Yeah.
There's quicksand and lava, and you got to figure the puzzle out.
Uh-huh.
And you can also do it for time, but it also looks like you don't have to do it for time as long as you do it within the time limit. But the faster you do it, you get bonus gems and that sort of thing.
Okay.
The only problem I have with it is it was like you get you know, the early on stuff, it was easy. I get the stuff through, try to, sometimes you have to do it two or three times, figure some things out. Okay, get it, no big deal. You move on to the next stage.
Yeah.
Well, so far now, I had two stages where I was literally stuck. I could not figure out how to do it.
Oh, shit.
I could not do it.
You got to go up to GameFAQs.com, dude.
Well, I mean, this wasn't an issue of I didn't know how to do it. I knew how to do it. I was not physically capable.
Your skills ors were not
of
enough.
Getting around the thing without the time running out.
Yeah.
One of the screens was 12 seconds. You had 12 seconds to run around a heart. And the way the thing is, when you press it once, the guy moves one square at a time.
Yeah.
So if you press it once too many times, it cues it up and you won't move one
you're
too
fucked.
Many far. And if you make one mistake, you're done.
Ugh.
You can't move past the screen.
Ugh.
Without solving it, you can't skip it and come back to it. You can't do anything.
So frustrating then.
And now I'm to a screen that I can't figure out. I know how to do it, but it's almost impossible. It's a screen with these guys that are moving so fast. And there's like it's like a racetrack, and you got to get through the one section, and then cut through a short thing, and then get through another section. And meanwhile, you have these huge bombs that are racing by you, and there is a pattern, but you have to like move up and down while you're moving right, and then get it and time it so you jump through. And
interesting.
And I've had the thing, and I've been working on it and working on it, and I cannot even get past the first road.
It's funny because that to me is it's tough to balance a game like that.
Right.
To say,
well, and my thought was, I mean, the other stuff, it was like easy, 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 impossible.
Yeah.
Easy, 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 impossible.
Good. That's not good.
And if they would just let the game be slightly harder, or at least there was no, it was like easy, impossible.
Yeah.
There was no mid-grade.
There's no transition.
There's no
there.
Transition, no training to get your fingers up to speed, your thought process up to speed.
Yep.
And that's frustrating for me.
Yeah.
Because if I'm going to sit down and play a game, I do not want to be screaming at the machine because it's so impossible I can't finish it.
Right.
So, I don't know. Maybe because I'm not good at puzzlers and I'm not quick enough and I'm not into that kind of game.
Yep.
So I'm going to give it a 15.
Okay.
It's an average game.
Average game.
If you really like puzzlers, I say give it a try. If you're really good at puzzlers, I want you to buy this game, try it, and tell me if I just suck or if the game really has a bad progression.
Well, I can tell you that you suck.
Right.
It's funny because Lumines is probably one of my favorite games for the PSP. I still play it.
It's a really good game.
I love that game.
But I've never been into Tetris. I've never been into games like that. It's just not my style.
Not
if I can't
thing.
If I can't kill something or die with, you know, viciously, it's just not fun for me.
Well, one of the other things I wanted to mention real quick was it looks like there's a martial art MMO coming out.
Yes.
Which looks pretty cool. I never did play... What was the one martial art game that came out for the Xbox? Jade Empire. Never did play Jade Empire, but I think you can get it for like $20.
I heard some mixed reviews on that.
I heard a lot of mixed reviews. Yeah. So anyway, a martial art MMO sounds kind of interesting.
It does. It's called Nine Dragons.
Nine Dragons. And it's got a cool website and a lot of...
I'm assuming this is probably some foreign publisher. Because of the name and the way the name is spelled, it's the number 9 and then dragons, but it's all one word.
Yes.
So that's I see that often in the Asian markets where they name games like that. And
I wouldn't be surprised because really, God, I'll tell you, man, if I'm going to spend 2 years and $2 million developing an MMO, or developing a video game, I don't know if it's going to be an MMO, dude. Because there's World of Warcraft, people are still playing EverQuest.
Yeah, but think
there's
about
DDO.
That. Think about the fact if you could draw away any of the 5 million people who pay $14.99
a month. Are you going to?
If it's good enough, you will.
Right, if it's good enough.
Something eventually has to be better than World of Warcraft. It's inevitable.
Right. So if you're developing a game, you damn well better make sure it's better than World of Warcraft.
Right. If you have any doubt whatsoever, stop now because you're going to put a lot of money and time into something that's going to go nowhere fast.
I just got to think to myself that it's cheaper to develop a game like Lumines.
You know what, though? Used to be EverQuest.
That's true.
People would
say
nobody's ever going to have a better game than EverQuest. And wouldn't you know it, World of Warcraft blew EverQuest out of the water.
World of Warcraft is Blizzard, right?
Yes. Yeah. And there's definitely room for improvement there. Those guys are still doing weekly maintenance.
Yep.
Yep. Weekly maintenance.
Amazing.
That drives me crazy.
It's very complicated.
So, lastly.
Last but not least.
Real quick.
Or maybe least.
Maybe least.
I don't know.
A friend of ours, Roland.
Yes.
Remember Roland? We used to role play him. He and his wife now live back in North Carolina, one of the warm states.
All right.
But his brother.
Does he listen?
I don't think so, but okay. I sent him a link to our site because I told him I was going to talk about his brother's book.
Cool.
His brother wrote a book, a novel called Sacred Vow,
shit.
Which is basically about a... it's a book about metaphysical...
It's about a vow that's kind of sacred?
Right. Ah. It's about a sacred cow.
It's about a sacred... No.
No, it's not. It's basically
vow.
About a metaphysical... It's a book with a metaphysical type...
Bent.
Thank you very much. Looking for the word.
Shtick.
And he has a Pinchon. Website called Dragon's Beard.
Okay.
And if you link to the site, to the Sacred Vow site, that's actually a subdomain on the Dragon's Beard domain thing there. I don't know what the book's about because I don't have a copy of it. I haven't read it. But I wanted to say something because he's a new author. And he's trying to push this book out here. And
sure.
The publishing company they use, I think, is through Dragon's Beard. They deal specifically with metaphysical type content and themes.
Cool.
And I wanted to say something. His name is, his pen name is C.G. Walters. And the book is called Sacred Vow.
Really?
So give that a look-see. And, I like to promote people who do new fun stuff
like
this.
Yeah, that's awesome.
This is his first time
That's very cool.
getting a book
I've
out.
I've always wanted to write a book.
Yeah, me
I've
too.
I've always wanted to write a book.
Me too.
Oh! Yes.
And that reminds me, I am going to post a PDF version of Balance Point, the script
yes.
that Chuck and I have written.
I read the end. Like the end. I think that... I don't know. I it's funny. The impression that I get from reading the script is that it's not quite perfect yet, but I am unable to identify what it is.
Right.
It's... Which means to me that it's very good. Because if... In reading through it, I had a couple of comments about a couple of things, but other than that, it's like this is a. I was even telling Jen about it, and my wife is pretty skeptical about all that stuff, you know, because we're just into a lot of stuff. So
yeah.
Every time I say we have a new idea, my wife's like, "Oh, another
yeah,
one,
here goes another one."
Yeah, and my wife even was like, "That sounds really interesting."
Yeah.
So
well,
I think
and
it's
I...
a great script. I think it's a great idea too.
And I hope we'll have to see. Chuck is going to be delivering it to Stephen Barnes.
I'm very interested to see what Stephen Barnes thinks about it.
Put it all in a nice binder, and I type up a couple of questions I had for Steve, and we're going to let him just do what he should
do. Do you think we could get an interview with Stephen Barnes for our podcast?
We probably could. I'm sure we could.
That would be awesome.
We need to come up with some nice questions to ask him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so anyhow, I am going to post a link
cool.
up to the PDF for people who want to read it. I've got it all. I copyrighted it with the Writers Guild Association
cool.
of America.
Very cool.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And people may be interested. If you're not, no big deal. But if you're curious what it's about.
Where are you going to put that? Are you going to put it in the notes, the blog, or the
I am going to put it here. I'm going to put it here.
In the show
just
notes.
Just in the show notes.
Okay.
So the show notes for episode 30 will have a link to the current release of the script in PDF format.
Very cool.
And if you want to read it or have comments or questions or what have you, I'd be more than happy to hear what you have to say.
Good deal.
And
well, I'm glad we had a short one today.
Yeah.
It's only 57 minutes.
Yes, so we're running 20 minutes ahead of schedule.
As far as the last one goes,
yeah. We run about 120.
Well,
but now we're running just under an hour.
We were placing it in an hour, usually. We'd hit about an hour, and then we started to
wind
drift
down.
Up a little bit, and now we're...
Right, yeah,
starting
right,
to wind
right.
back down, so we jam music in here and stuff like that. We're at an hour
right.
again, so that's it.
Well, there we go, another one in the can.
I have to urinate. I'm Dan, and I have to urinate.
Great, I'm Sterling, and I have to eat.
Oh,
never mind.
You could
shut up.